Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, June 22nd of 2021. I'm your host tonight, the Miracle Man, and I am very pleased to have you listeners with me. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, maybe you've tuned in on the phone, maybe you're driving home from work, or maybe you are doing what I'm going to be doing a week from tonight, actually, and that is starting or being on a vacation, which I will be leaving for one of those from today, where I'll be heading to down to Central Kentucky, where my brother lives, in kind of the north central part of the state, you could call it, Elizabethtown. And then we'll go spend a couple days in Corbin, Kentucky, which is where Cumberland Falls is. Cumberland Falls is a big waterfall. It's one of the biggest waterfalls east of the Mississippi after Niagara. And many people have called it the Niagara of the South. So, but whatever it is you're doing, we're glad that you're with us tonight. We're glad that you took some time to come on and be with us. And be there and minister to you. And also have some fun. But, oh, I was in the middle of telling you guys where I was going. Oh, yeah, so we're going to, like I said, we're going to Elizabethtown where my brother is, actually twice, because we're going there on the way down and on the way back. We're going to E-Town. We're going to, like I said, Corbin and Cumberland Falls. Yeah, Cumberland Falls is like 15 minutes from Corbin. But Cumberland Falls will be like the highlight thing that we are, like the main thing that we're going to Corbin for. Then we're going to go spend a few days in Chattanooga. Which is, of course, in southeast Tennessee. And if you've heard me tell my testimony, you'll know that that's the city where I had 17 surgeries on the right side of my face. But you say, does Chattanooga being one of your favorite cities have anything to do with have anything to do with those surgeries? To that I would say, rather than say no, I would say this. Not directly. you say then, and some of those of you who know me, and have heard me come on the show in the last nearly 4 years, and every once in a while I talk about kind of what my favorite cities in America are that I've been to, you would know that of the very, very large cities, these cities that are like 300,000 people and up, you may remember that I said before that Atlanta, Nashville, Dallas, and Houston were all tied for my favorites. And by the way, that 300,000 metric for population, I meant to say 250,000. And for that, I would say Cincinnati is kind of on, you know, depending on which data you look at, it's kind of, it can either be just over 300,000 people or just under. Otherwise, it would be an honorable mention on both of those. Columbus also pretty strong. But then of the midsize, like those, under 250,000, Chattanooga is my undisputed favorite of that size of cities. And they have some large city amenities, but they have different mountainous areas, like a couple different. They have one different mountain I've been to. Another, I haven't. I don't know. Signal Mountain might be a mountain. I have to look at that. And then different outside attractions. They have a certain place there where you can see seven states. And there's certain natural attractions that over the years had attracted me to that city. There's good food too, and from what I understand, Chattanooga was considered to be very high on the list of cities with like these true southern accents. And if you didn't notice by that list of cities I gave you, all of them except for the Ohio ones are all southern, all of them. And Tampa, Florida, my book is getting to where it's on that list too. We'll be in Chattanooga for few days, then on the way back to Michigan, we're going to stop and see Ray, my brother, for a couple more days, and then we'll be back the 11th of July. I'll be back. There will still be shows while I'm gone. There will still be shows. So I don't want your listeners to think, oh, I'm not hearing from him until after the 12th of July, after the coming up, 28th of June. So there'll be a couple episodes, at least. At least one on the 29th is basically out. That's a drive day. But then when I'm in Chattanooga, I plan on doing, I'll try to do one or two shows while I'm there. Not all three, but one or two. And so, and anything down south really sounds good after that weather we had today, huh? That was, because that weather we had today, Zeanna, that was not good. That 64, 65 degrees and the big rainstorm, no, that 64, 65 degrees in that rain, no. I'd rather have, you know, that mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s, high 90s, I mean, excuse me, no, not high 90s, mid-80s, high 80s, low 90s, or around 90s. I can just hear my dad at his house going like, ugh. Like, Riv, what are you doing? I repent, Dad, for that, if you were thinking that. No. Mid to high 80s or around 90. Low humidity. Lows in the 60s. Like, we'll say, like, we're talking a southern place, so we're like 65 to 69. And so that sounds better than what we had today. And yes, Dad, if you're listening, to make you happy, yes, I did say with low humidity. Because me personally, with humidity, I would say as long as it's not too high. Like, my threshold for what I can handle and to be fine may be higher than other people's from up here. And, of course, I am from Michigan, here in Midland, born and raised here. But I can just hear it right now. Being in the South, someone and somewhere on someone saying, man, it's hot and humid up here, like maybe somewhere like in the country or something. Maybe if I was somewhere where everybody had the southern accent and I said, I'd say, and if I said, you know, maybe a little, and they said more like a lot, they'd be like, where are you from? I'd be like, I'm from Michigan. And they'd be like, are you crazy? Maybe that's how I would know I was a little bit crazy. But that's all that. Now, another thing I wanted to let you know is that I have an interview tomorrow with a radio station here in Midland, ESPN 100.9 FM, which is an ESPN affiliated station. So they have the ESPN radio programming with also some local content. They have the Great Lakes Loons baseball team, the Great Lakes Loons baseball team. Of course, the station, believe it or not, the station is actually headquartered at the stadium, which is the only stadium to be headquartered to a station, radio station in America. It's been that way for over 10 years. So, it's a pretty cool thing that they are headquartered at a stadium, albeit a minor league ballpark. And so, be praying for me for the interview. Pray that it goes well. Say, Miracle Man, are you nervous? No. Not nervous. I got the mind of Christ. I am not nervous. And of course, everyone's been nervous about something before. I'm sure I have. Obviously, you don't want to always be nervous about something every time something comes. But at points, there may be times where you very well do get nervous. When you do, you just got to give it to God. And of course, know that the Lord will see you through. And He wants to see you through. No matter what it is in your life that you're going through. And I'm not only not nervous, I'm actually excited. Yes, I am. And so, like I said, just keep me in your prayers. I'll let you know tomorrow night on the broadcast as to how it goes. Yes, I will. I will let you know as to how it goes. Because I know you will want to know how it goes. All right. Sorry about that. I was just checking my clock. Just seeing what time it was. Because, of course, every so often, you just have to check the time in order to see how you're doing and make sure that you're not just letting it fly by you. All right. So let me remind you that this episode is brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can go through the drive-thru and buy an any size Coca-Cola soft drink for the low price of $1. So whether you like the Coca-Cola Classic, maybe you're a Sprite person, or maybe you're like the preacher man who says that his favorite soft drink is Dr. Pepper. And man, when we launched this thing almost 4 years ago, we would go after it. And I would tell him different things about the Dr. Pepper. He pointed out to me that his Dr. Pepper had 23 flavors in it. I did point out to him that the Dr. Pepper was, in fact, 1 year older than the Coca-Cola. When I found that out, I was extremely shocked because even though I knew that Coca-Cola was not the first soda, I knew very well Coca-Cola was not the first soda. I did not know at the time that Dr. Pepper came out before Coke. But I found out, and I told, and I mentioned that on the next broadcast, back in 2017, and I mentioned that Dr. Pepper had come out literally 1 year before Coca-Cola. And in case you're wondering, yes, I have mixed Dr. Pepper and Coke together. And it was decent. But you can go to your local McDonald's, grab an any size soft drink for the low price of just $1. Price and participation may vary. Tax extra. See store for details. And you could also say legal disclaimer, done. That is actually the legal disclaimer done part, that was actually a part of a commercial for Nextel, which then merged with Sprint back in the early 2000s. Believe it was 2003, maybe 2004. I just know it was way back in the day. It was back in the early years of the whole cell phone. I wouldn't exactly say the infant years, but the early years. All right. So a couple of quick announcements. Number one is the first thing I want to announce to your listeners is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. My mom wrote a book. It was released back in 2019. It's called Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of the first 30 years of my life, and it's about how faithful the Lord has been in my life. And the Lord has been very faithful. All the different miracles that have happened in my life. All the different miracles. Even the miracles of me graduating high school and college. And just all the different miracles gives a great testimony. That book is a testimony. In fact, let me tell you something, listeners. Your life is a testimony. Yes, it is. It's a testimony. If you've been saved, that's a testimony. In fact, the greatest miracle is salvation. It's true. And by the way, when I say that, I am not in any way, shape, or form belittling the different healing miracles or anything like that. I am not discrediting those miracles. But I am stating a fact. And that fact is that the greatest miracle that can happen to you is your salvation. And if he can save your soul, he can heal your body. But you can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about how you can buy the book. And we believe in God for more and more copies of that book to be sold. And realize that the more people that hear about and read this book, the more souls can be won for Jesus. And when I take this time every show to talk about the book, yes, money can be made from it. But it's about souls. It's about souls. That's what it's about, souls. Because the only thing you can take with you to heaven is people that you used to wear. And depending on where you work, maybe you still wear it. That mask, it will not go with you to heaven. No, it won't. But hopefully you will be there. And hopefully you'll take people with you. Souls that you want. So go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. The other thing I want to mention is the Miracle Man has a PayPal. You can go online to PayPal. And when you're there, you can type in my name, which is Rivers Shukla. That's R-Y-V-E-R-S space Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. And you can sow any amount that you wish, whether it be small, whether it be large. And remember, God looks on the heart. And I think about when Jesus was in the temple and an offering was taken. Many people who were in this temple who were very wealthy, or maybe not all of them were wealthy, but there were people who put huge amounts of money in that offering. But then there was this woman who was a very poor lady. She put all that she had to live on into the offering. I'm not suggesting that you sow all your money to me. And if you feel like you're supposed to, let that be God. I'm not telling you to do that. There's no pressure here. But that lady, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. If all you have to give is a 10, and that's the money you have to your name till you get paid the next day, the Lord blesses that. If you have 1,000 and you give 300, even though the dollar amount may be much, much, much bigger, we just have to realize that God looks at the heart. So think about that as you sow your seed. With that in mind, the verse I have for you is, he who sows sparingly shall reap. That's right. He who soweth sparingly shall reap. Because if you sow, you reap. That's the way it was designed. But he who sows sparingly will reap. Sparingly. He who soweth bountifully will also reap. Bountifully. So whether you sow a little or not, you still reap. If you sow a little, you reap a little. Sow a lot, reap a lot. That's just the principle. It's a Bible principle. And so it's just something to think about, folks. More you sow, more you reap. And just keep in mind, listeners, that every seed you sow, I pray over. And I think it's important that you know that, so that nothing that you sow is void. There's no seed that you can go and then get this thing that says, void. Excuse me. It will never say void. We're going to sing a couple songs. And then we're going to get into the word of the Lord for this evening. Look how he lifted me. His grace and mercy is my testimony. For every victory, I've got a song to sing. Look how he lifted me. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh city. Heroes in triumph for every victor. Look how he lifted me. Heroes in triumph and every enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Look how he lifted me. Look how he lifted me. His grace and mercy is my testimony for every victory. I got a song to sing. Look how he lifted me. Look how he lifted me. His grace and mercy is my testimony for every victory. I got a song to sing. Look how he lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down, your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down, your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. Again. When nothing else could help, your love came down, your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down, your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. Look how he lifted me. His grace and mercy is my testimony for every victory. I got a song to sing. Oh, look how he lifted me. His grace and mercy is my testimony for every victory. I got a song to sing. Look how he lifted me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As long as I have breath, I will praise you, Lord. As long as I can speak, I will sing your praise wherever you lead. I will follow you as long as I have breath. I will praise you, Lord. As long as I have breath, I will praise you, Lord. As long as I can speak, I will sing your praise wherever you lead me. I will follow you as long as I have breath. I will praise you, Lord. As long as I have breath, I will praise you, Lord. As long as I have breath, as long as I have breath, I will praise you, Lord. As long as I can speak, I will sing your praise wherever you lead me. I will follow you as long as I have breath. I will praise you, Lord. As long as I have breath, I will praise you, Lord. As long as I have breath, I will praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you and praise you for who you are, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for His wonder. and the sins of earth will grow strangely dim when you turn your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for it. Look for his wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim when you turn your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim when you turn your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's sing this chorus, this other chorus, real quick. Because this other one talks again about moving up higher, and it talks about these things on earth, the things of this earth, growing strangely dim. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I'll set my sight only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. I will move up high. Thou set my sight, thou set my sight above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I'll set my sights only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. I set my sights only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We surrender our lives to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us to that higher place. I pray, Lord God, that we would move up higher, that we would turn our eyes upon you, that we would focus on you in our lives, that you would be our first love. That when we turn our eyes off from all these other things and focus on you, that all this other stuff grows dim. All the different things of this world grow dim, grow strangely dim when we turn our eyes and we put our mindset on you. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you would just minister to us tonight. Thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord God, for every one of these listeners who is tuned in tonight to this broadcast. Wherever they are, however they tuned in, however they found out about this broadcast, I pray, Lord God, that they would just receive from you whatever it is that they're looking for from you. Whatever it is. I may not know what all they're looking for from you, but you do. And I thank you that you will meet all of these needs that are represented by each one of these different listeners that are tuned in. All those who are tuning in from all of these different countries, all over the world, I just pray that you would just minister to them, every one of them, every one of them. And now, Lord God, I make my confession over this program tonight. I pray that sponsors and partners would come into this program. I pray, Lord God, that increase, that finances would come into this program. I claim in your name that increases in listenership would come into this program. And most importantly, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to your kingdom as a result of these people listening to this wonderful radio program. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's make our confession, our Bible confession. say this. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a history book to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a story book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive. Absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Amen. We're going to the book of Luke. And we'll go to chapter 7. Amen. Luke 7. And we're going to begin with verse 1. And we'll see what all the Lord has for us tonight. And I want to encourage you, listeners, to please just follow along. Whatever I do here, Ryan, you do where you are. Amen. Luke 7, verse 1. NIV. When Jesus had finished saying all of these things, and the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and was about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, telling him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and he has built our synagogue. Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go. He goes. I say to that soldier, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and they found the servant well. Verse 11. Soon after this, Jesus went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up. He touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe, and they praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Verse 18. John the Baptist's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" After that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what all you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured of leprosy. The deaf hear. The dead are raised." We just read about someone who was dead being raised. "And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to talk to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury live in palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, they acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. By what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace, calling out to each other, "Played the flute for you. You did not mourn." I mean, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' Son of Man came eating, drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom has proven right by your actions. 36. One of the Pharisees arrived. Jesus asked dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said, two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, another 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debt for both. Which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And then he turned towards the woman and said, Simon, do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. She wet my feet with her hair. Well, she wet my feet with her tear and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. This woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head. She has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. For she loved me much. But to he who has been forgiven little, loves little. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. So, what you see here is Jesus, one of John's disciples even came to ask Jesus. They asked him, you know, Jesus, are you the one who's to come? Or should we expect someone else instead? He asks that disciple, have you seen all the stuff, these things I've been doing? And he explains to this disciple of John the Baptist, he tells him, well, look at what I've done. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. The dead are raised. Those who have leprosy are cured of their leprosy. Those who are deaf hear. And then after he explains that to them, he also says, and the good news is preached to all these people. And once they understand it, they say, you know, Jesus, you're right, Jesus. Jesus, you're right. And they acknowledge it. Now let's talk about this centurion. So there's this centurion that we read about in Luke 7. And he has a servant. This person is sick and is about to die. He says, he sends messengers. Go, have Jesus come so that this servant can be healed. And then, while Jesus is on the way there, messengers are sent again. And through the messengers, the centurion says, well, Jesus, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Speak the word. Speak the word. Only the word. And the servant will be made whole. Speak the word. You know, that centurion showed such humility to be able to say, you know, I am not even worthy. I am not worthy to have you come to my house. I'm not worthy. So speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Speak the word. And Jesus tells the people, you know, he says, I have not ever seen such great faith ever. Of all the miracles that I've done, you are the one who has had the greatest amount of faith. Centurion goes home, finds that servant healed. Then he goes to another town. A dead person is being carried out, who is the only son of his mother. The mother's a widow. And the woman, so what does Jesus do? He goes up, touches the dead man's coffin, and says, young man, I say, get up. That man who had been dead sat up and started talking. Jesus did this. Jesus did this. This dead person was raised from the dead, began to speak. And for some of you who sit there and think, oh, that's pretty spooky. No, that's not spooky. That's the Bible. My God is able to save, deliver, heal, and restore anything that he wants to. Anything that he wants to. And trust me, I am sure there were Pharisees there who had to sit there and twist things. But most of the congregants in the crowd, those people who were following Jesus, those who were there to, you know, watch miracles be manifest, and that those who were there to be ministered to, obviously, I'm sure that, you know, they were super excited. They were clapping, shouting, up on their feet, praising him for what they had seen him do. And they were giving God glory, honor, and praise for what they had seen. Because wherever he would go, there were people that needed healing. And there was the faith. These people had the faith. He did it right there. And the same Jesus who healed all those people can heal you. The same person who delivered those who had demons, he can deliver you from whatever it is that you need deliverance from. He can deliver you. He is able to save, deliver, heal, and restore. That's what he came to do. Save, heal, deliver. That's what the will of God is for us. That we could be saved, that's our salvation. To be healed, you know, from sickness, diseases, those things, and to be delivered. And for whatever we've lost that God wants us to have, to be restored. And aren't you glad that Jesus is a restorer? Amen. I am glad that Jesus is a restorer. I really am. And what do you have? And sorry about that, listeners. I just saw something being set out. Yeah. But he's able to heal, deliver, and restore anything that he wants. And you can just ask this. And then that woman who had put all that perfume on Jesus' feet and hair, and then on Jesus' feet, and wiped, put that perfume on Jesus, and kept kissing Jesus. This lady had been a sinner her whole life. Jesus forgave her of all of her sins. And then he said to Simon, whoever has been forgiven much, loves much. Whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for these miracles that we read about tonight. The miracle where the dead son was raised. And also this miracle in which the servant was healed, was on their deathbed, and they were healed. And the centurion even told Jesus, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And I thank you, Lord God, for those different miracles. And I thank you that as we are studying these miracles, all these different miracles that you did, that we're realizing, you are the miracle worker. You are willing to save, deliver, heal, restore anything that you want to. And I pray, Lord God, that anybody listening to this program who is in need of a miracle, whether it be a healing in their body, whether it be a financial miracle, whether it be whatever kind of miracle it is, that they would receive that miracle. In Jesus' name, I pray that all pain would go. I pray that all blindness would go, all deafness, all these other things, all cancer, all heart issues, all these different things would all go and leave us right now. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. All right. In sports, the Detroit Tigers start a series with the St. Louis Cardinals, 7:10 p.m. tonight at Comerica Park, downtown Detroit. Also, tonight is game two in the Western NBA Western Finals between the Phoenix Suns and the LA Clippers. You heard that right, the LA Clippers, not the Lakers. The Lakers lost in the first round. But you have the Suns playing the Clippers. And so that's what I have for sports. Oh, also, Eli Manning is back with the Giants. But he's on the business side of things. He's not playing quarterback anymore. All right, folks. Keep me in your prayers for tomorrow. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.